Feel good. Who feels good today? Who's cold today? Man, it is cold in Seoul. It's not this cold in Busan. People think that chubby people are impervious to cold weather. I don't know why. You guys think that like our skin is like we're blubber or something, but it was very cold all day. It was very cold just now. I was coming out. I was like, oh, I got to. All right. I'm going to get started. Turn your Bibles to Matthew 5, verse 13 through 16. Everybody, you guys probably have read this many times, have heard sermons on this many times. Let's read it together. I'm going to read from the ESV. You guys can kind of follow along with whatever version that you have. Verse 13, you are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Now, when I was young, I would hear many, many sermons from this passage. Who's heard many sermons from this passage? Right? We all kind of heard this many times. And it's kind of become like this ingrained Christian thing that when we hear about it, we like automatically assume that we kind of know everything about it. As I was growing up, almost all of the sermons from this passage was about evangelism. Now, I don't want to knock evangelism. Evangelism is very important. Okay, it's one of it is what the last thing that Jesus said for us to do as he left. Okay, when I was a kid, like my mom was going out and she would like say, oh, okay, make sure you get something to eat and make sure you do this and make sure you do that. The last thing, like, and don't watch TV, right? You know that last thing that she said was the most important. Like, do your homework, right? That was like the most important thing that she wanted to get off her chest as she went out that night, right? So basically, evangelism, when Jesus left, okay, evangelism was like, hey, you got to do this, right? If you're my people, you're going to do this no matter what, okay? So evangelism, I'm not trying to say that evangelism is not important, and it's very important. I'm going to missions this year. I haven't been on missions in 5 years. Last time I went on missions was 2011, before I got married. I went to Bangladesh. And since then, I've been married, I've had a kid, so I haven't had a chance to go. And then this year, I'm going to Nepal, right? And I'm excited to go. Nepal, where are you at? All right, Nepal. With New Philadelphia Church, we're going to Nepal this year. I'm very excited to go. Evangelism, reaching out is very important. It's important for you guys to get connected and stay connected with non-Christians. Okay, I'm a pastor. I live and I work from home. Okay, so the only non-Christian that I come into contact with is my son, Ethan. He's 2 years old. He does not know, like, he doesn't understand the gospel of Jesus Christ yet. So he's like the only non-Christian that I come into contact with every day. But as a pastor that works from home, I don't get to, like, engage non-Christian. Before I started working full-time for the church, I used to work for Sharky's. It was a bar and grill in Busan. And I would come into contact with non-Christians all the time. And I enjoyed it. I liked it. Not because I wanted to, like, oh, sin it up. But it's like, we need to be engaged with the lost. Okay, we need to be engaged with the lost. Very important, okay? But as I came to this passage, and I'm doing a sermon series in my church in Busan from the Sermon on the Mount from Matthew 5. And I started to really meditate on it. And I came to the understanding that what Jesus is talking about right here isn't so much about going and doing, it's about being. You guys understand that going and doing is very important. Okay, I'm not, like you guys, it's like the full counsel of God, right? I'm not, just because I'm saying this, I'm not saying that going and doing is not important. But what Jesus is trying to draw up from this analogy of salt and light is about being. Because he's saying, you are the salt of the earth. He's saying, Jay, you are the light. You are. That's who you are. It's what you need to be. Okay? Now, I want to start out the sermon by defining that who that you is. Okay? In the King James, they use the word ye. So who is the ye? All right? Is he talking about disciples? Is he talking about Christians? Is he talking about you and me? Who is the ye? And the answer to this is pretty easy, but it's also very hard at the same time. You see, the you that he's talking about describes the person of the Beatitudes that he talked about right before this. So let's read that together. Okay, I'm going to read it to you. It says, he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth. You guys see that, right? So like, when I started to really study this, what Jesus is talking about here, it's not an easy thing to be. Right? It's what he's talking about here in these Beatitudes. It's not something that we can just cover with a blanket statement of like, oh, Christians, or just, oh, anybody that believes in Jesus Christ. Now, we get it twisted that we think salvation is everything, but to believers, salvation is just the beginning. The person that Jesus is talking about is one that is walking under the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit, being transformed and sanctified by the Word of God through the power of His Spirit, who's walking the path to remain broken, humble, righteous, pure, merciful, unwavering in the face of persecution, faithful and unmoved in the face of struggles and opposition. That's what Jesus is talking about when he says, you are the salt of the earth. You can be a Christian, but not this. He's talking about one that is blessed. Not in the word, you know, we use the word blessed. Like, oh, I'm blessed, I'm rich. No. Although, you know, financially, all our financial blessings come from the Lord. What he's talking about, R.T. Kendall phrases it very well. He said, blessed describes the person God approves. And he goes on to say that blessed, it means that we are under the Holy Spirit's grace and anointing. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. That pure in heart comes from a grace and the anointing that God releases over us through the power of his Holy Spirit. One thing you have to know, that these Beatitudes that he talks about, it's impossible without the Holy Spirit. You know, and I'm not talking about the Holy Spirit, like, oh, I have the Holy Spirit and my ticket to heaven. Huzzah! You know, I'm not talking about that understanding of the Holy Spirit. Because when I was young, that was my understanding of the Holy Spirit. As long as I have the Holy Spirit in my heart, I get to go to heaven. Thanks, Holy Spirit. I'll see you later when I die. But, you know, the Holy Spirit, that's not all he does. He transforms us. He equips us. You know, when you read the Word of God, you read it through the power of the Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit is what helps you to not just read the Word of God, but do the Word of God. Through prayer. And as you run this race, you experience a fire and a zeal of the Lord that comes upon you. You get new perspective. You have new understanding. You start to hate sin. You know, you can't hate sin without the Holy Spirit. When Jesus says blessed, he's talking about these people. He's saying blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the righteous. These hunger and thirst for righteousness. It's more than just, oh, I'm a believer. I have Holy Spirit in my heart. But there's a deeper meaning that God, Jesus is trying to draw out of us as he uses this metaphor about salt and light. Now, it doesn't mean that if you're a Christian and you're not living like this, that you're going to go to hell. But it doesn't necessarily mean that you're being salt and light. I feel like there's many times that even as a pastor, I've gone out and I may have been salty, but I wasn't salt. I may have sparkled, but I wasn't light. And what Jesus is talking about when he talks about salt and light are people living under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, the transforming power of the Holy Spirit. And that's not easy. It says Philippians 2:12, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. It's not like this, like, okay, it's done, right? Let me just wait until I go to heaven. No, it's like work it out. Who works out here? Half a person raised their hand. I'm what you meant. No, I'm just kidding. I haven't worked out in a while, as you can see. But when you work out, you push, like, the resistance. It's like if you work out with no resistance, you get no payout. Pastor Leo knows what I'm talking about. That guy's jacked right there. Pastor Paul knows what I'm talking about. I feel nervous. You guys are both in here. I want to tell you something. And also one more thing is that this anointing is not permanent. It's not like a permanent thing. You don't get it and you don't always have it. Just because you have the Holy Spirit in you doesn't mean that you're allowing the Holy Spirit to do what is there to do. Now, I'll give you an example. It was like after church or on Monday on my Sabbath, Holy Spirit would say, Caleb, hunger and thirst for righteousness. And I say, no Netflix. He says, come on, hunger and thirst for my word. And I said, no, PS4. Or he'll tell me, blessed are the peacemakers. And I'll say, no, but she started it. She started it. It's her fault. It's because she's lazy. You know? Even as a pastor, man, there's times where this anointing, it's not something that we just constantly just have, man. We have to. It has to be like something that we're constantly working at, running after. And God, I saw a quote yesterday on Facebook, and I get a lot of my, you know, my revelations from Facebook. I saw somebody said that God is trying to do 18,000 things in your life. You may be aware of three of them. And when I read that, I said, wow. That's probably very true. Because, man, God's trying to, he's trying to sharpen us and hone us. And so many times we get distracted. And this anointing, it's not an automatic thing that we have. And there's many times where as a pastor, or I'll go out evangelizing, I'll go out to minister. And I think I'm salt. I think I'm light. But I'm like a poor substitute. And then you know what happens? I get beat up. And I get discouraged. Now with the Beatitudes, I don't want to disqualify you. But what I'm trying to do is challenge you. Under that definition, are you salt? Under this definition, are you light? Because growing up as a preacher, this passage, many pastors stirred up our hunger for evangelism and witness. And it's good. And I, God bless those men, because I have a heart for mission. But I look back now and I realize that a lot of them were more focused on us delivering the message and not on the condition of the messenger. You see, the message is flawless. It's timeless. The gospel is perfect. And we are to go and be salt and light. But what Jesus is saying is be. If the power of the Holy Spirit is truly at work in me, transforming me, I'm going to go naturally. You guys hear that? I'm a poet. But it's about us being. We'll go naturally. It's not going to be like pulling teeth. We're not going to go like all nervous and, oh, I don't know what to do. Because Holy Spirit will tell us what to do. Holy Spirit will tell us what to say. But it comes from a life, living a life of the Word of God, living a life of the Holy Spirit at work in us, transforming the Word into things that we walk out and live out in our lives. And we as followers of Christ, if we're living under this life of surrendering to the power of the gospel, to the Word, to the anointing of the Spirit, when our spiritual lives become truly devotions, from a place of relationship, then we are salt. We are light. We don't have to have the characteristic. We don't have to act like salt or act like light. And I'm not, many times, I can look back on so many times where I would go out and I would come back so discouraged. But I look back in my life back then and I wasn't living right. And now before I move on and continue on with this salt and light analogy in my sermon, this metaphor, I want to tell you that the person described in the Beatitudes, it's a process. I don't want you to leave here getting all discouraged like, oh, I can never be like that. I don't want you to leave discouraged. It's a process, and you enter this process through grace. It's turning your heart to God, receiving His grace. When you turn your heart to God, God releases a grace to repent, to hate sin. A grace to hunger and thirst for righteousness. A grace to remain pure at heart. A grace to remain steadfast in persecution. That's going to come as you continue to turn your heart to God and receive the grace that He pours out in you. It's a process. And God meets you where you're at in that process. And some of you guys may have been in this process before and may have fallen off. And you feel far from God. I want to tell you, when you feel the farthest from God is when He's the closest. His grace is closest to you when you feel the farthest from Him. You just have to turn your heart. I want to tell you one more thing. Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit. He didn't say, blessed is the poor in spirit. That word ye, remember we talked about it? In Hebrew it's called humais. It's an irregular plural. He's not just talking about you, but He's talking about you all. The person that's described here, it's impossible without community. Without the body of Christ. Without people building you up. And here's the kicker, without you building others up. You can't expect to be this person of the Beatitudes without you sowing into other people's life. Because you getting built up is 50% of the assignment. You getting built up, you getting encouraged, you getting sowed into is 50% of the assignment. If that's all you do, you get an F. You get an F plus. But you need... To be this person, you get built up. People sow into you. You start to change. You start to get transformed. And then now you go and you do that to other people. That is going to start to transform you. That, you know what? You don't really know sanctification until you've tried to shepherd people. I'm telling you, man. Shepherding people, you think pastors, oh, so glory. You pastor, everybody think. It's sometimes shepherding people. But you know that, it's for your good. You need to go through that, for you to know the heart of God. Because as you get past that, I'm telling you, you're going to know His heart more. But if you never engage in that, I've said it too much now. If you never engaged in that, of like shepherding and leading people and them saying, no. And you're like, come on, please. And you pray for them and you sow into them. Until you've done that in your life. That's the other half of the assignment. That's what's going to turn you into this person that Jesus is talking about. That's the blessed person. It's a product of a person being engaged in the body of Christ through covering, accountability, encouragement, rebukes, being challenged, challenging others. Not just hearing the word, but doing the word. At the end of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, blessed are those who hear this and start and does it. Because they're like the ones that build their house on a rock. Salt and light are not singular words. You don't ask for a grain of salt. You don't say, waiter, can I get one crystal of salt? When light shines, there's no like one like ionic beam of light that is light. And that's it, our life, it's built in community. And as you turn to him, you start living your life for him. You fall, you pick yourself back up. You continue to do the word. You're going to get into that place of the blessedness that Jesus is talking about. And then God is saying, you know what? That's salt right there. That is light. Now, as Jesus causes people salt and light, there's a lot of wisdom that we can glean from this metaphor. People use metaphors to speak deeper and different levels of understanding about a certain thing. And that's what Jesus is doing. He's not calling us salt, like, salt, oh, salty, you know. There's something to draw out from this understanding of salt. There's something to draw out from this understanding of light. And what does it mean to be salt? What does it mean to be light? Now we can look at these things separately. Like, a lot of, like, pastors would dissect this separately. Like, salt is this, and light is also, it's something. I want to look at the attributes together. I want to look at attributes that salt and light have together and what it looks like in our lives. So if you're taking notes, here's my first point. Salt and light is valuable and essential. Everybody say, valuable and essential. Look to the person next to you and say, you are valuable and essential. You know, salt was very valuable back in the days. Everyone needed it. In a world without refrigeration, it was the only way to keep food from spoiling. Who loves bacon? I love bacon. You know why bacon is so salty and crispy and delicious? It's because it's cured. It's cured with salt so that it will last longer. A long time, but they didn't have refrigeration. So they would cure their meat so that it would last more than like 4 or 5 days. Right? It was essential. They needed it to survive. They needed it for food. It's also a very essential mineral in our diet because our bodies did not produce salt naturally. So if you eat zero salt, you can die. That's why salt is good. And some of you guys may know that salt was so valuable back in the days. Roman soldiers would be paid in salt. Okay, they would be paid in salt. The word salt comes from salarium, which was a word for salt. The word salary comes from salarium, which is a word for salt. In ancient China, salt was second in value to gold. In some parts of Africa, salt was so valuable that it was traded for equal amounts of gold. This is the understanding and the context in which Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth. Also, light. Light was also, they didn't have light switches back then. Light is also very valuable. In a world with no electricity, when natural light went away, when the sun went down, you got very bored. The only thing you had was one single light. And back then in Jesus' time, they used olive oil to light a lamp. You know, they talk about lamps. Olive oil is very precious. It's very valuable. So when Jesus calls us salt and light, he's saying that we're valuable. We're essential. You healed, delivered, walking right with the Lord, walking in holiness. That is essential. That is valuable. God has callings for our lives, ministry, you know, business, family. But the first calling that he calls us to is to be anointed and blessed. Walk right. Live right. Live out the word of God. Now, sometimes we get caught up in calling and we forget about sanctification. You being salt and light is essential, is valuable because you as salt and light is how God chooses to impact this world for him. He doesn't choose animals. He doesn't choose robots. He doesn't choose computers. He chooses you, the redeemed and anointed you, to impact this world for his kingdom. He doesn't use angels. He uses you. That's why you're so essential. It's so valuable. You know, a few weeks ago, we had testimony night at my church. And we had all of the leaders and gathered together. And there were people went up and told this testimony. And there were so many, like, I was really blown away at the testimonies that were being spoken. Because as a pastor, I don't go to like the small groups and the community groups. And as I was hearing them, I was like, man, these are such amazing testimonies. Lives are getting changed. And when I thought about it, I was like, man, if these leaders were not taking their place, if these leaders were not taking their place in our church, we wouldn't have these testimonies. We wouldn't have these amazing fruit that was being born. And I'm going to tell you, you as salt and light is very valuable to God. It's very precious to Him. And number two, being salt and light means you're a minority. I'm not talking about like African American, Hispanic. But you see, you don't add equal amounts of salt to food. You don't use 5 pounds of salt to salt 5 pounds of meat. You also don't create a flame the size of a room to brighten that room. Because if you did, you would have some messed up food and burnt down houses. You just need a little salt. And it goes a long way. You just need one little flame can light up a room like 1,000 times its size. When Jesus calls us salt and light, He's telling us that the people that are walking in the anointing of what He's talking about, we're going to be a minority. We're going to be a small minority. And I believe that when Jesus called His people salt, especially salt, He knew that His true followers would not dominate the world in this present age. Matthew 7:14, for the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. You know, Pastor Marcus, he's the campus pastor of Itaewon. Where you at, Marcus? Woo! Yeah. And he preached at our Friday night, Friday Fire, prayer meeting a few months ago. He preached a sermon called Something of Lawlessness. Where was it again? Oh, The Mystery of Lawlessness. It was an awesome sermon. I listened to it. It was so powerful. It's called The Mystery of Lawlessness, and he talked about, like, a study. There was one study, and they asked, like, how many people of the United States identify themselves as Christian? And this study said 70%. And then there was another group, like the Barna group, and there was three different studies, one by University of Notre Dame, another one through researchers and people. They did these three separate surveys, and the two criteria that they use is the Bible is the Word of God, and the second one is Jesus is the Son of God. And the only way to salvation, you know, I believe most Christians believe that, okay? And under these criteria, the studies pointed out that 7% of Americans are Christians according to the Bible. That blew me away. But you see, being true salt and not some salt substitute, you're going to be a minority. And the way is not going to be easy. Because if it was, Jesus would have said, you are the sands of the earth. Because I come from Busan, man. There is sand everywhere. But what does He call? He calls us, you are the salt of the earth. And right now, so much of the world hates the taste of Jesus. Because what they're tasting isn't salt. It's a salt substitute. It's Mrs. Dash. You guys know Mrs. Dash? It's MSG. What they taste is religion. They taste hypocrisy. And although we're a minority, as long as we remain salt and not some salt substitute, as long as we remain light, you know, you girls have like those flashy, like sparkly dresses, right? It's called sequin or something. We have a member at our church who wore this sweater that was just like shiny, like you see it, like every light, it reflects every light of the spectrum, right? It's a beautiful. But you put that, you know, you know, you guys have some of those dresses, right? You know. But you put that dress in a dark room. You know how much light that dress produces? Zero. It's just sparkly. But some of that's how our light is. We're sparkly, but we produce no light. We're just shiny. But if we truly remain light, because that light is not, it's not something that we can make for ourselves. It comes from Jesus Christ reigning in our hearts. Jesus Christ reigning in every area of our life. That produces light, guys. And you know what? That you don't, like, that just goes out on its own. You don't have to, like, shine some light on there to reflect it. No, that just light goes out. And no matter where you go, no matter how overwhelmed you are, as long as we remain real salt, real light, and we engage the world of dark, death and darkness, we will change this world for God's glory. And this leads me to my third point. Salt and light, as a minority, we are made to be able to fight death and darkness. Salt and light, we fight decay, we fight darkness. Salt is an antiseptic, it's a preservative. It fights infection and decay. Light removes darkness. And you don't have to do anything to salt for it to prevent decay. You don't have to, like, add anything to salt so that when you put it on meat, it spoils slower. You don't have to do anything to a flame to make it shine. They just do. A life walking in the anointing that Jesus is talking about is a life lived out through the power of God. A life lived like Christ. You can't help but fight decay and darkness. As a salt and light, God has sent you out. And wherever you go, your workplaces, your friends, your family, if you are walking like Christ, your life is fighting decay. Your life is fighting darkness. Some of your workplaces can be dark. Some of, you know, there would be like, you know, members of my church would call me and say, Pastor Caleb, I need talk with you. And this person would just describe this person would describe her workplace. And I'm like, man, that place is dark. It's depressing. It's ridden with fear. But you just got to be firm, get prayed up, you know, like identify yourself, like speak your identity over yourself. And that person breaks into that darkness and shines light and it changes. You know what? And when you live like this, you change the atmosphere. You know, when I came back from the Lord, every job I've had, when I work with people, I went in knowing that the Holy Spirit that is living in me was going to change the atmosphere of my workplace. And I remember I was a Hagwon teacher for 2 years in Busan. And she, you know, my boss is a Christian, but not really. And she's the most choleric woman I've ever met in my life. But she would come up to me and she would say, Caleb, come here. I need you to pray for me. I need you to pray that we will have more students. But I think she treated me so well. It is not because I was a good teacher, because I was, but it's not because I'm not like super great. But I believe that she felt the anointing. She realized that when I came into the Hagwon, like something changed, and she liked that change. You know what? But all of you guys, that is the calling that you guys have. Whenever you go into your workplace, you have to go in knowing that the Holy Spirit, not me, Holy Spirit in me is gonna set the atmosphere. Here's the kicker. You have to remain salt. You have to remain light. And all you salt at your workplace, you know, you guys can be salt at church. It's easy to be salt at church, man. Oh, Pastor Christian, hi, oh, Holy Spirit. But is that same salt going into your workplace as salt? Do you treat your coworkers with the same type of love that you treat the people at your church, in your community groups, in your small groups? Some of you guys, how do you guys treat the Korean staff? How do you guys treat the Korean people at your work? Some of you guys treat them differently. And what I'm saying is, it's the same saltiness. It's the same light shining and reflecting and coming forth from you, same way it does at church. It has to. You have to remain. You can't just be salt and then be Mrs. Dash tomorrow. You know, I have a our tech team. I asked him if I could say this. And he said yes. But our tech team leader in Busan, his name is Jin. Who knows Jin? Okay. So for those of you guys who may come from another church, Jin is a character. Okay. He's a great guy. I love the guy. He's so faithful. So just he's a worshiper. You guys, some of you guys might have seen him up here in the front, like worshiping. He does this. It means this is like him stirring up the spirit. You know. Recently, he took my advice. He got a job, a real job. And this job, right off the bat, there was favor on his life. Because since he graduated from a very good school. Since he graduated, he hadn't worked like a real job for like 5 years. Gets a job at this company, design firm. He's put into the design manager position. Has no design background. And then there's this one guy in his design group. And he is just the most negative person. He says that, like, what happened was one day I was with Ethan and Shinsegae because me and I had to go out. I get a phone call. He's like, Pastor Christian. I keep on saying Pastor Christian. Pastor Kit, can I talk with you? Can I just come by? And I was like, you know what? It's a weekend. Can I talk with you, you know, when I have office hours? And he's like, oh, I just wanted to hang out with you. So I was like, all right, come out. Let's come to my house. Let's eat some chicken. He comes, meet me at Shinsegae, and he starts pouring out everything. He's like, man, I was like, how was your day? It was the worst day of my life. So what happened, man? I thought you didn't want to hang out with me. What happened to us playing like PS4? I thought you want to hang out, man. Eat some chicken. Worst day of my life. I was like, man, what happened, Jin? I love the guy. So he's like, I have this coworker, and I'm technically like his supervisor, and every step of the way, second guessing me. And ever since he came into the company, like the whole atmosphere just changed, just dark and depressing. And whatever I say, whatever like light I try to shine, he just shoots me down. And today, I lost it, Pastor Caleb. And I was like, what happened? He said he blew up and used every Korean curse word in the book. I could say this because he told me I can. He said he threw the mouse and said, step outside right now. And he took out and he said he had like a 20-minute conversation with this guy. It's just like, man, like he's just brilliant. He's like, why? And then the guy's just like, mm-hmm. Hey, you're that kind of a person. I know you are. And he said it was like the most, like it was like so hard. And he looked so discouraged. You guys know Jin, the most encouraged man. He looked so discouraged. And I was like, man, you got, and I gave him pointers. Like, man, he's doing witchcraft, man. He's doing intimidation. He's trying to manipulate you, man. He's trying to dominate you, man. You got to just stand your ground, pray. But then he realized, because I saw this thing in his eyes. Like, he realized it's not easy being salt. You can be the most anointed leader sometimes. It's not easy. You have to have the power of the Holy Spirit. And even then, sometimes it's going to be so difficult. And I just saw him. He looked so discouraged. And I said, you know what? I sent them off. I was like, you have. And we hung out, ate chicken. And I told the man, you got to stand your ground. And you got to like, you know, like even whatever he's saying, like be the gospel and live it out and just love and pray and contend. I said, go home. He went home. And yesterday, I asked him, hey, can I use your story in my sermon? He's like, yeah, you can. Because our relationships changed. Slowly it's changing. He said they went on this business trip. And even his bosses recognized, man, you've been dealing with this guy's negative energy for a long time. He said, mani chamaso. You know? And he's saying that their relationship is changing. But I want to tell you, it's not easy. That oh, I'm the salt of the world, man. I'm gonna go to the club. I'm just gonna be salt. It's not easy, guys. It's a life. It requires a life of consecration. It requires a life of doing the word of God. And it means remaining salt, remaining light. But are you up for the challenge? Because in the end times, the church, the pure bride, will be salt and will shine brighter than ever. And not all churches will be like that. And not all Christians will be like that. And it's going to be the ones that are walking that blessed life. Jesus describes it. He's like, when people hate you and revile you and call like all kinds of false accusations to you, on my account, rejoice. That's not easy. You can't just do that. There's an anointing for it. And it comes from living your life by the power of the Holy Spirit. Salt and light, it fights decay, fights darkness. Point four, as salt and light, it's going to be pleasant to some, but reviled by others. You know, salt is a flavoring agent and the most important flavoring agent. Okay, food would suck without salt. Have you ever, you know, I love chicken. Who loves chicken? Okay, what does chicken without salt taste like? Not like chicken. Salt makes things delicious. A true chef, we have a chef in our church, Danny, knows how to, it's like what they do with salt makes or breaks the dish. And it's enjoyable. It tastes good. And it also makes you thirsty. And it leads to satisfaction. You guys catching that? That's salt. But you know, that same salt, when it comes in contact with an open wound, it is painful. You get salt in your eye. You're like, ah! You know, light also can shine and reveal beauty. A well-lit room, it can just have like a chair, like a table, and like a book. But if that room is well lit, it looks beautiful. Light makes that difference. But then have you ever opened the curtains on somebody that was sitting in the dark? Ah! They're like, ah, shut that light off. You know, I go in, I turn on the light. Ah, turn off the light. Now I'm going to tell you, when we are salt and light, for some, we will be delicious and beautiful. They will see us and see Christ. We'll preach love and repentance. They'll receive it with joy. But to some, they will revile and hate our flavor. They will shriek at the light. And they will despise it. But that's how. And as they see us and hate us, no matter what we do, we can be the most loving people to them. They will revile and hate us. 2 Corinthians 2, 14 through 17. But thanks be to God who always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ and through us. Spread everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of him. For we are to God the aroma of Christ among those who are being saved. And those who are perishing, to the one we are the smell of death, to the other the fragrance of life. And who is equal to such a task? Unlike so many, we do not peddle the word of God for profit. On the contrary, in Christ, we speak before God with sincerity, like men sent from God. There's going to be people, they'll get in contact with us, they're going to love us. And there will be some, there will be the majority, there will be more that hate us and revile us. But we have to remain salt. We have to remain light. We can't change who we are as salt and light. We can't try to water down our salt. We can't try to dim our light because it's a slippery slope. And we can end up in compromise. There will be some that taste the salt and experience life and light. They're going to be like, oh, it tastes so good. But it has to taste good and not easy. We can't start watering down our saltiness, dimming our light, because soon we won't be salty and we won't be light. Jesus said, "But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men." He says, "People, don't light a lamp and put it under a basket." Now, for this sermon, I actually scientifically researched if salt can lose its saltiness. And scientifically, it can't. Because chemically, NaCl, who knows chemistry in you? Who took chemistry? All right, NaCl, which is a compound of sodium chloride, which is salt, it's a very stable compound. The chemical bond between sodium and chloride sharing that one electron is very tight. Okay, they're like buddies. They're friends. And even when salt is mixed with water and boiled, it still remains a salt molecule. Only like a chemical reaction that's put upon it can change that compound. But back in Jesus' day, in the matter of speaking, salt could lose its saltiness. Salt was so valuable that some messed up people would take this much salt and add this white powder to it. So what was like 1 gram of salt now becomes 2 grams of salt. And you add more of that white powder to it, and all of a sudden it becomes 3 grams of salt. But pretty soon that salt, it loses its saltiness. It gets mixed by things out there that is not salt. No, drug dealers did this. Drug dealers did this to me. It's called cut. They would cut the dope. They would mix it. You guys know what I'm talking about here. But I'm going to tell you, people might hate you for your saltiness. People might revile the light that you shine. You have to remain salt. And you have to remain light. We can't get mixed. We can't shriek back when people hate us. Because people will hate us. It says in the Bible that we will be persecuted. It's not we may be persecuted. We will be persecuted. This whole, even in the end of the Beatitudes, it goes from blessed are the poor in spirit. And then it leads with like, they're going to hate you, man. They're going to like revile all these things against you. But blessed if you remain salt, if you remain light. And this goes to my last point. I'm going to close with this. Salt and light must be maintained. We've got to make sure that we are continually connected to God in the body of Christ. Connected in the Word of God. Connected in prayer. Personal, corporate, praying God's heart, connected in worship, in praise, being filled by the Holy Spirit, encountering God daily. That's going to lead us to a life of being salt and being light. It needs to be renewed. It needs to be maintained. That will keep us pure salt and not some salt substitute. I keep on saying Mrs. Dash, but actually it tastes pretty good. Or chicken salt, you Aussies. Or MSG. It'll keep us from being shiny and sparkly. But when put into a dark room, produce no light. That will keep our lamps burning when we are constantly being refilled with the oil. The anointing of God in our lives. We are living in a world where more and more people are losing their taste for God. And it's because so much of what they taste isn't real salt. It's not what so much of what they see isn't real light. It's like that dressing room light where the colors, where the light makes you just look old and fat. Have you ever been into a dressing room? And like, you look great. Like, when I, under this light, I look great. You walk into that dressing room, I was like, who are you? Is that light that's not really light? But you know what tastes good? You know what looks good? When non-Christians, they see you struggle, and you still have joy. When they see you face adversity and remain loving and steadfast and faith-filled. When they see you going through hardship, but you remain at peace. That tastes really good. That draws people in. You know that? When they see you live a life of true honesty and righteousness, not out for selfish pride, but true humility. You know, humility is the most fleeting thing. Like when somebody calls you, you're so humble. You're like, oh yeah, I am. Oh, I lost it. True humility is so hard. It is. That's why Jesus starts with it. Because it's something that we're going to be working at in our lives for the rest of our lives. You guys know that? Humility, you never get past humility, man. Because it's like one of those things. It's like trying to catch a butterfly. Oh, it's here. Oh, it's gone. But if you're working this out in your life, you're working it out. You're working out your salvation with fear and trembling. And you're going to live a life of salt and light. Man, people, non-Christian, will see that. And they're going to say, man, that looks good. That smells good. That tastes good. That is salt and light. That is what Jesus is saying here. And when I was young, I would be like, oh, salt and light means we're all Christians. We're salt and light. There's a deeper meaning here. And you know what? I said it from the beginning. It's hard. It's not easy. But Jesus said, never said, this was going to be easy. You know that? He said his yoke is light, but there's still a yoke there. The life that we live for Christ is not meant to be easy, but it's meant to be glorious. Because it's by his Spirit. If we live our life by the Spirit of God, man, adversity, trials, it's not easy, but we are able to overcome. And I talked about this in Busan last week, and it was like I felt like there was a certain grace that was pulled from our church. It doesn't mean, it's not because we sinned or we did something bad. It's not because I was unfaithful, well, maybe. But I felt like there was a grace I was pulled from our church. And what seemed, what was easy is a little bit harder. You know, one of our brothers, he came up to me, he sat me down after Friday Fire. I want to talk with him. He's like, hey, I'm going to be honest with you. You know, things that were easy, things that brought me joy, it's not doing it for me anymore. I'm like, you know what? That is because God pulled a certain grace. And he didn't pull it not because you did something bad. He pulled it to see if you're going to push forward. Some of you guys are living in, you guys do use that excuse. I'm in my wilderness. I'm in my wilderness, man. You know why God puts you in the wilderness? Not for you just to sit in the wilderness. He puts you in the wilderness so that you do everything you can do to survive in the wilderness. And the thing you need to do is cry out to God more. You know, have you ever seen Bear Grylls? He'll like get dropped on some island with nothing, and he'll survive. He'll like eat tree bark, and he'll like eat worms. He'll like drink, like he'll make his own water, and he'll drink it. That's the wilderness. That when God puts us in the time of wilderness, it's not so that we just sit there and like, oh, so that we push in even more. But that's going to build resistance. That's going to build strength in us to pull up. You know, I talked about linemen in the NFL. The linemen, they squat down. Why? So that they could push up. They don't just line up like this. Ready, set, hike. They squat down. They put all of their energy on their butt so that when the hike happens, they can push up. Some of you guys, God is pushing you down. And you feel like, oh, God, he's pushing you down so that you can get built up, so that you can push up with power and momentum. That is the Christian life. That is what Jesus is talking about here. It's not going to be easy. But if you are being led by the Spirit, you can be in the wilderness. You can be in persecution. And you're going to be able to explode out. It's the way that God made this life for us. I want us to close our eyes. There's some people that I want to pray for, but I want to pray for those of you guys that are in that place where being salt and light isn't so easy anymore. Where what was easy and what brought joy before, you feel like some of that grace has been removed. Some of you guys, at your workplace, it's hard to be salt. And it's hard to be light. And you feel pressure on you. You feel like the world is pushing you down. And you guys, though it may be difficult, I want you guys to have a new perspective. I want you to have new understanding. That difficulty, that being pushed down, is for your good. And God is seeing right now how you're going to respond. God is seeing what are you going to do with this? How are you going to see this? Is this going to keep you down? Is this going to discourage you? Are you going to, by the power of the Holy Spirit, break out of this into a new level? Into that place of the anointing. Into that place of blessedness. If you are that way, I just want to see raise your hand. If things what's easy before is no longer easy. What brought you joy is actually you feel pressure. You guys have your hands raised. I want you guys to stand up. Because this can't be something that I produce out of you. This is something that you need to produce in yourself by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's a decision that you have to make. You guys have to understand it's whatever I pray for you, yeah, it might help. But this perspective, it comes from a decision. It's a choice. Saying, you know what? I choose to go against the resistance. I choose to press through. I may feel dry. But I choose to press up. I choose. And whatever it is, whatever that difficulty is, start laying it down. Start laying it down. Because once you choose, there is a supernatural grace that God's going to release upon you for you. To get past that resistance. There's a supernatural grace that God's going to give you. For you to stand firm. It's supernatural, guys. Everybody else that are sitting down, I want you guys to stretch out your hands and pray for these people. I want you guys to pray that there will be a grace that is released. Come on, pray out loud. Pray out loud. Come on. Stir it up in the Spirit. Stir it up in the Spirit.